maybe you would take just a few minutes before you put fork in mouth here this morning, or after your meal winds down, and go around the table for whoever's there. And maybe it's just Dad. Maybe it's Dad and a whole wealth of kids, grandkids, whatever. And express some gratitude, you know, out loud with your mouth from the heart to be a blessing and encouragement to that one who has so loved you and ministered to you as the wife, as the mother of your kids, as your mom, as your grandmother. It's appropriate for us to do that, to honor faithful moms. So I appreciate the young folks singing that song this morning. Let me go ahead and dismiss our young people for junior church over to my left. So young folks up through grade 4 can be dismissed with the Askenazes. Trust you'll have a great time in the Word of God. I'm going to guess that they're going to come out with some words of encouragement as well to honor their moms when they go back home today, which is certainly an appropriate thing. For those of you who are remaining here, if you open to Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6, if you're using the Pew Bible, we're going to be on page 1345, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25, and we'll get there in a few minutes. Back in the 90 days, when they would on occasion do interviews with maybe the Chief of Naval Operations or the Chief of Naval Personnel, or these very prominent senior naval officers, 3- and 4-star admirals, kind of a common in vogue thing in these interviews where they would ask them, among other things, these couple of questions. One of them would be, what gets you up in the morning? In other words, what are you excited about? You know, what's your vision? What's your passion? What is it that stirs you about what we're doing in the Navy? What's the context? And another question they would ask is, what keeps you awake at night? And the impetus of that question is, you know what? What worries you? What are you bothered about? What are your concerns? What are the rights of the role that you're in that you're uncertain about? And so they would ask those kinds of questions. And if we were to ask all the moms here this morning, what keeps you awake at night? You know, what do you worry about? What are the burdens and concerns that you have as a mom? And I wonder what you would say. I thought about throwing that out and having people answer, but I'm not sure I can manage it effectively. So I'll just accept that and offer this suggestion. There was a Christian ministry who did, you know, an informal survey, not a technical survey, but an informal survey about that very question. You know, about what are your burdens? What are your worries? What are your concerns as a mom? And almost without exception, the answers the moms gave aligned with one or more of these 5 themes. And if I asked you all to guess what they are, pretty sure you'd come up with probably all 5, but 4 out of 5 because sometimes we draw blanks, right? But, you know, I mean, they're just really, really straightforward. And one that almost everyone named was the safety of her children. You know, concerned about the safety of her children. Mothers of little kids worry about their children falling off the monkey bars or choking on food or drowning in the neighbor's pool or getting hurt or injured by any of the various kinds of accidents. Moms with teenagers worry about their kids driving safely and staying safe on the roads. You know, raising a child in today's world of violence, you know, in certain areas, certain places in particular, causes worry that perhaps some bad thing will befall their son or daughter. You know, a second area of concern is that of health. Mothers mentioned the physical and emotional health of their kids. They expressed worry over unhealthy relationships, given unhealthy environments, and of course, the prospect of incurable disease. And a third theme that came out was the idea of marriage. Young folks, you know, if you're getting to that age where you're starting to think about marriage, you know, let me tell you, there's a person who maybe worries about that more than you do. Your mom. You know, moms are burdened about who their children will marry. that they'll find, you know, God's choice for a spouse. That they'll find someone of like mind. That they'll find someone who will be kind. Someone who will be supportive. All of those kinds of things. Someone who's going to share their child's values, and that those values are going to be centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. Moms are burdened that their children will make wise choices in that very, very important matter. A fourth area, and this one, the term that they used in the survey, you know, you could choose something else, but they called it competence. And in other words, the idea was, moms worrying about, have I done a good enough job preparing my children for life? Your mothers are worried, will my child be successful? Have I done everything I need to be doing to make him or her ready to face the pressures of life and the challenges of marriage and the ups and downs and difficulties? Will my son be able to get a good job? You know, will my daughter have children and be a good mom? Will they be good citizens? Will they make a difference in this world for good? You know, moms are burdened about, have I cultivated a healthy relationship with my children such that when they grow up, they'll want to come back and be with me and spend time at home? Now, this particular survey was conducted by a Christian institution, but not all the moms who answered the questions were believers. But for those who were, this was really perhaps their greatest area of worry for many, if not most. And that had to do with the area of faith. Moms worry that their kids won't embrace their faith, that they won't make living for Jesus not only a priority, but the most important priority in their lives. And, you know, I think, and we could break things out further, but, you know, I'm going to guess, moms, that you would say, I relate to those things. You know, I relate to some of them maybe more than others, but, I feel that burden. I sense that concern. And that's because these kinds of things come naturally for any good mom. And we'll talk in a minute. Our focus this morning is going to be about how God wants to deliver us from inappropriate worry. Let me just say that having concerns, right, provided they're not overwhelming you, they're not leading you to undue fear, they're not causing you to doubt God, they're not, you know, distracting you from loving and loving God, you know, but these are natural and understandable things. And dads deal with some of these same things, but it's kind of different. You know, sometimes I'll talk about the mom gene. Now, scientifically speaking, I suspect there is no such thing. But biblically speaking, you know, when God calls a lady to be a mother, you know, I believe, you know, he equips her with a certain mindset vis-a-vis her children. And there's a certain instinctive and innate burden and desire where her life just gets so wrapped up in that child's life or those children's lives. You know, I mean, she starts out spending 9 months with that child before the child breathes his or her first breath. And their lives are just locked together. And good moms, you know, find, you know, the primary source of identity ought to be Jesus. But after that, it has a lot to do with their children and what's going on in the lives of those children. And again, dads experience some of those things, but it's a little bit different. Moms carry that weight so often to great, great, great degree that I think we who are our dads maybe can't understand. But, you know, that's a reasonable thing. Being concerned about the safety of your child, that's an appropriate thing for a mom. You know, if I were talking on the phone to a mom and I overheard her saying, yeah, I see my son Johnny, he's five, he's an active kid, he's just climbed up a tree about 25 feet, he's going to explore how strong the branches are as he moves farther and farther away from the track, you know, we'll see what happens, you know. If you weren't concerned, I'd be concerned, for you, right? You know, that's not how it works, you know.
Moms will be running out the door. What are you doing? Get down from there. Right? Because of what you're saying, that's appropriate. It's normal. It's a good thing. We have some friends in Oregon whose little girl was born not quite a year ago with significant congenital heart problems. She had a heart transplant at about the age of 6 months. And as you might imagine, there have been many related health concerns and conditions and close calls and codes and all of those things in her short life. And she has godly parents. You know, parents who have great trust in God and who walk with the Lord. But they are certainly concerned for her health. How could they not be? So I'm not questioning moms or dads who are burdened for their children about these various things, but I do think, you know, that we need to be careful that that doesn't become the overwhelming driver of our lives. You know, and when moms deal with these things, it's intense, and it's different than dads. I had the blessing of being able to babysit my grandson Noah a little bit yesterday. Ryan had to be on call, make some rounds, and Hannah was at the mother-daughter retreat, so we went to the playground, okay? You know, if you're not yet a grandfather, there's few things more pleasant in life than taking that little child to the playground. And so they had the one playground that has a sign that says this is for ages 2 to 5, and another playground says this is for ages 5 to 12, and Noah is 2. So he started on the 2 to 5, and he played on that for a long time, and after a while, you know, a little boring. I mean, you know, that a lot. So we ventured over to the 5 to 12. You know, and there was one quite steep slide. And he was ready to do it. You know, well, this is what dads and grandpas do. Like, go for it, right? You know, like, be right. Step up. You know, and make it up there, call him. He said, no, you can do it. You can make it. He gets up there. Now, I observed. He had these really rubbery tennis shoes on. And even on the shallow slide, he kind of liked to use them a little bit as brakes. And I cautioned him on this really steep slide, because I am an engineering geek, okay? That, you know, be careful. Don't dig in your because, and sure enough, as he did it, they dug in. It's like putting on the brakes. And so he does the over the top, right? His body keeps moving, even though his feet didn't. Now, I was ready, and we didn't have a full-blown face plant, but he was a little shook. But, you know, I was encouraging him, and he was tough, and he took it. And then, you know, the other thing that dads and grandpas do is, you know, we are not going to let this thing beat us, right? We're going back. We're going to do this successfully. So, and to his credit, he was ready. So he went back, climbed his way back up there to the steep slide, and this time I took his shoes off, right? Okay, the admonition hadn't worked, so I took the shoes off, and then I got ready, and down the slide he came, and down he came fast. And I was ready to catch him at the end, and it was great, okay? But you know, dads are a little bit more adventurous, you know? Moms are a little more protective. And that's because God made you to be that way. God made you to be concerned about things and careful about things. Now, I'm not advocating, dads, that we should be careless, okay? That's not the point. But it's understandable that moms are burdened. God has given them a protective, a nurturing heart, you know, in just a profound ways towards their children. You know, God has given you, ladies, a disposition where a certain degree of worry in the sense of being concerned about things. That concern for the welfare of your kids, it comes naturally. But too often it can get intense and out of hand to the point of being almost overwhelming. You know, and you can see that coming when you find yourself just asking the what if question. What if, and there's a fearfulness there. Fear about things that have not happened, but in all likelihood may never happen. And yet there's just this fear that's kind of ruling out of control. Or there's the feeling that I am a failure as a mom. You know, I feel I'm not measuring up. I'm not doing enough. And ladies, I think at certain times, you know, every mom deals with some of those things. And so what I want to do this morning is just offer a remedy that Jesus gives in the face of that worry that can overtake us. And can hold us back and drag us down. You know, worry like that needs to be
exposed, so to speak. It needs to be addressed. It needs to be brought out in the open in the sense of, you know, bringing it into the light of God's Word. So let's look together at the teaching of Jesus and see if we can bring our worries as parents into the light of His truth. Now, our text this morning is found, you know, right smack in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's not a passage that we would normally think of in terms of Mother's Day, but I do think it offers some really helpful insights for moms feeling the pressures of motherhood, so applicationally speaking. In context, Jesus has been talking about people who are too concerned with the things of this life, somewhat to the degree of self-gratification. And it's a rare thing that that's a problem for moms. You know, I mean, sometimes moms can get, well, I'm living my life vicariously, dads too, through my child, and, you know, and life is about me. But here, the context is in that sense, but the principles are still valuable as you just feel that overwhelming sense of worry sometimes and of concern sometimes. So look at what Jesus says, Matthew 6:25. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat? Isn't it more than what you eat? And the body more than raiment, more than what you wear? Behold the birds of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they?" In other words, if God's going to feed them, aren't you much more important to God than those birds? Surely you know He's going to feed you as well. Verse 27, "Which of you by taking thought," that's the word that we see in this passage, the idea is by worrying, by being anxious, "can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment, for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God can so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven," it's like it's cut down and the chaff is burned, "shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things," all these other things, all these concerns, all these burdens, "these things shall be added unto you." The title of the message this morning is Let Go of Worry, or I suppose alternatively something like Trust God When It Comes to Your Kids. Father, we're thankful for your word. We pray that you would encourage these dear moms here today through your word. Encourage us as dads as well. And I pray, Father, that you would help the young ones to get an appreciation of the love and the burden that mom has for them. And that there would be just a greater measure of thankfulness and gratitude to that end. Father, would you use your word in each life in exactly the way that is needed, the way that you know, as your spirit takes your word and applies it to each person. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what I want to do for our remaining time this morning is identify three adjustments in thinking, if I can call them that, that Jesus gives us in our text. You know, steps that will help us in the battle against worry. And while Jesus isn't talking about parenting per se, as I've said, you know, for the purposes of application, I want us to think about these things in the context of being a parent, of being a mom. You know, and ladies, for you, especially as you deal with the weightiness, with the burdens of motherhood, the understandable concerns that so often capture your thinking because you love your children and because you want God's best for them. And yet that very noble pursuit can often kind of overwhelm and lead to discouragement. So consider these three very simple principles that Jesus gives here in Matthew 6. First, recognize the limits of your human ability. In verse 27, Jesus says, "Which of you by taking thought," You know, by turning it over in your mind, by worrying about it, by being anxious, by asking those what if questions or if only questions, those kinds of things. Which of you, by doing that kind of thinking, can add one cubit unto his stature? Now, maybe you say, well, a cubit, that's a lot. Isn't that something like 18 inches? You know, okay, not Jesus' point, but let me ask you, can you add a quarter of an inch to your stature by worrying about it? Some of you say, well, get on one of those rack things and stretch yourself out. It'll make you taller. There have been people who have had those crazy ideas, you know, in our world. But his point is, you know, there's some things you cannot control. Now, they're in God's hands. And all the way in the world can't change it, can't undo it, can't reverse it, can't extend it, can't add to it. Now, the word that's translated stature there can refer to your span in terms of height or your span in terms of days, of age, of length of life. That's why in some translations you'll see something like, which of you by taking thought can add even a day to your life? And either translation is appropriate. It's not explicit there. Either one makes the same point. And what Jesus is saying is, listen, by worrying, you can't extend your life. You can't increase your height. You know, why do you think that you can affect all these other things, even more important things, by worrying? In Luke's account of this same discourse, Jesus says that directly. Luke 12:26, he says, if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, that's how he talks about adding to your height or adding to your length of days, why take ye thought for the rest? Now, let me just pause and give a disclaimer here. And I just don't want anybody to get the wrong impression, okay? Jesus isn't saying live an unhealthy lifestyle, you know? He's not saying, you know, that quit your job and just say, God, you know, you said you'll provide just like you do for, you know, that's not the point. There is an appropriate place for being diligent, for planning, for working at things, for being responsible about things. He's not dismissing that. But what he's saying is, you know, we so easily slip into worry where these things just have us all unnerved and we're coming, you know, kind of getting unraveled about what if and how is this going to happen? Or how are we ever going to do this? And he says, listen, you can't control all those what ifs. You can't change these things, but God's in control. He can. Recognize that you can't. Recognize that worrying about those things isn't going to help. It's not going to change anything. So what Jesus does here is confronts us with our inability. He says, there's some things you just can't control. Now, of course, the problem is that there's something in our flesh that kind of makes us think, even though we might not say it, but makes us feel like, you know, if I worry about this, I can control. You know, somehow or other, by just the force of whatever, things are going to change. And Jesus says, you know, realize that worrying is helping nothing. This is something that God can do, but not something that you can do. I could have worded this first point, you know, recognize what you can and what you can't control. And ultimately, even the things you can control ultimately rest in God's hands. But, I mean, there are some things where certain decisions lead to certain normal consequences or things like that. But those aren't the things we worry about. We worry about the things that we don't know what's going to happen. That's why we're worried. We're worried in the future. That's why we're worried. We're thinking all those about us. That's why we're worried. And all that rests in God's hands. So let's take Jesus' question and apply it to the particular areas of our worries, you know, today as parents, as moms, as if the Lord Jesus were asking directly. So maybe Jesus would say something like this. Which of you, by worrying, can ensure that your child will never have an accident? Which of you, by worrying, can guarantee that your child will never have a serious disease? Which of you, by worrying, can curb your child's flesh? Which of you, by worrying, can shield your child from the pressures of life and the world? Which of you, by worrying, can bring eternal life to your son or your daughter's soul? Now, you can and and should pray. And God will answer according to his perfect plans. But worrying changes absolutely nothing. That's why the Bible tells us, you know, cast those worries, cast those cares, cast those anxieties on the Lord. And I've used this analogy several times in the past, but I'll use it again today, right? Those of you who are fishermen, right? When you were young, you practiced casting. So you put a weight on the end of your fishing rod, you cast it out there, and then you reel it back in, right? Okay? That's not the kind of casting that God talks about when he says, cast your cares on the Lord. He doesn't say, throw it on the Lord, and then reel it back in and worry some more. Then throw it on the Lord, and then reel it back in and worry some more. What he said is, throw it and let it go. Let that worry go. Let that burden go. Let God carry that burden for you. Let God strengthen you as you face that burden. Don't just keep bringing it back thinking, boy, I got to do something. I got to change something. I got to whatever. You know, certainly there's times when God indicates to us, you should make an adjustment here in this or that, and that's fine. But worrying isn't the answer. Looking to God is. Praying to God is. Recognizing that God is the one who can bring about that change. He's all-powerful, but we're not. We can't fix things by turning them over in our minds, by becoming undone by them. You know, you think about salvation itself. No one comes to Christ in salvation. No one can be saved until they first realize that they can't do it themselves. That only God can save a soul. You know, it's not by the works of righteousness that I've done. It's not by me trying harder, by me doing better, by me taking steps of personal reformation. That's not how salvation comes. Salvation comes when I realize that, you know, there are certain things that I can and can't do, and one of them I can't do is I can't save myself. But God can. And, you know, we're saved when we realize I'm a sinner, I'm lost, left to myself, I'm on a path headed straight towards hell. But Jesus came, the one who's sinless, the one who's perfect. He shed his blood. He gave his life on the cross. He paid the penalty for sin that I deserve. And he offers me his righteousness. He offers me forgiveness. He offers me new life in him, not based on my worthiness or what I've done or what I've tried to do, but based on what Jesus has done. And he says, come to me, all you that you're weary, you're heavy laden, you feel like, what more can I do? You know, well, you can't. Just come to him. He'll give you rest. He'll forgive. He'll give you new life. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you know, that's the most important need in your life right now. You know, it isn't the need to be a better parent, though certainly we all want to be a better parent, right? Yeah. But the great need in your life is to come to Jesus in saving faith, to know him in a personal way. To experience the forgiveness of sins and receive eternal life as a gift. A life of faith requires that we recognize our own human limitations, our own inabilities. Number two, focus on following Jesus. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And it says, none of these things shall be added unto you, but the point isn't so much first and then do a bunch of other stuff. The point is first and foremost, here's what matters. Here's where to have your focus. Here's what to invest that spiritual energy in is in the things of God, the person of God, knowing him, loving for him, walking with him, and letting him guide and direct you as you seek to be a mom or a dad to your children. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. In Colossians 3:2, Paul says, set your affection on things above. Set your heart on the things of God. Yeah, and that's where the context of this passage, where Jesus is talking about, there's all these things that the world around you says are important. All these things that the world says, these are things you need to focus on. These are things you need to work at. These are things you need to give your attention to. And Jesus doesn't say that there are. It is important to put food on the table. He's not minimizing that. What he's saying is that's not the big thing. The big thing is live for God. And you know what? If you do that, he'll put food on your table for you. He'll give you clothes to wear. He'll provide for your needs. All these things that the world says, these are the big things. Jesus says, no, those are not the big things. The The big thing is the kingdom of God. It's knowing Jesus. It's living for him. And if you allow that to be the big thing in your life, the central focus of your life, then these other things, God will take care of them for you. You know, there's clearly a relationship between the things that you set your heart on and the things that worry you. That's the problem with setting your heart on things like safety and health for your children. I'm not saying wish ill for your children. I'm just saying, you know, that you can dither and worry about those things, or you can recognize that, you know what, we just look to the Lord. And if in his providence he allows some of these things to happen, then he's going to give me the strength and the grace to work through. He's going to give my child the strength and the grace to work through it, even if that means a six-month-old baby having a heart transplant, as unimaginably hard as that is. You know what, if we will seek God first, he'll give the grace for all these other things that so easily capture our thinking. You know, we want our children to follow Christ, but on the other hand, we want them to have a pain-free life. We want them to have things just go smoothly and easily. We want that for ourselves too, but frankly, for most parents, we want it even more for our children. You know, and the truth is, there is no pain-free following of Jesus. You know, if you want your son or your daughter to follow Jesus and live their life for him, you can't set your heart on them never being hurt, never experiencing pain, never dealing with obstacles, never missing out on some of the comforts of this life. The first thing, the big thing, is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you know, those burdens for your children, it doesn't matter how old your children are. A godly mom's heart is always connected to with her child, whatever he or she may be doing. This week, someone from my generation here in our church had to have surgery. And in the Lord's providence, that person's mom was staying with them. And from her heart came the thought, now I know I'm here. I'm here to be an encouragement, to be a blessing to my child as they go through surgery. You know, those of you who are moms on the older side recognize that grown children doesn't mean they're still your children. You know, it doesn't mean that you don't worry anymore. Those burdens are still there. Sometimes they're greater. You know, the dynamics are different. Connections, you know, the degree of influence is of a different sort. But they're always there. A godly mom's heart is inextricably tuned in to whatever is going on in her child's life, no matter the age of the child. And mom, no matter how old that child is, no matter how the burdens grow over the years, Jesus' answer is still the same. Let go of worry. And keep your eyes on Jesus and what he wants to do in your son or daughter's life. And then lastly here, trust the shepherd of your soul. You know, Jesus is the one speaking here. He says, well, you know, why are you so worried about these temporal things? You can't control them. You can't even predict them, but you can trust me. We had a junior-senior banquet in our school here on Friday night. And the junior class is the host class, and Brother Bob Burkhart was the advisor for that class, so he was kind of the sponsor for the program. And he just said some really helpful things, I thought, to the seniors. And he showed some pictures, like, of the seniors, and they were playing in a volleyball game or whatever it was, and one of the faculty members was over in the stands going, yeah, yeah, cheering on. And he just showed these different things. He says, you know, sometimes you feel like faculty members are just kind of piling on the work, and, you know, they're opposing you. And he says, listen, we are for you. Well, we want your success. We're on your side. We want to see it going forward. We want to see God's best in your life. Young person, never doubt that your mom and your dad, they want what's best for you. You know, when they tell you no, you cannot go do that, and you're thinking, well, they just want me to be miserable. No, they don't. I promise you they don't. They want what's best for you. And Bob said to these, you know, young people, listen, the faculty, the administration, were for you. Folks, God is for your children. He loves them. He wants the best for them. Here's a familiar verse. This was, in fact, kind of the theme verse for that banquet. Jeremiah 29:11. Well, God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. The word is shalom. you know, thoughts for your welfare. And not of evil, not for calamity, not for things to be undone, and to give you an expected end. And the idea is a hope-filled future. And God said, you know, parent, is your burden for your child? You know, God loves your child. And God says, listen, mom, I have great plans for your son. I have a great vision for your daughter. And you may not see it unfolding quite yet, but I have that for you. And my thoughts for them are for their spiritual welfare, for their growth, for their usefulness in God's sight, not to undo them. Now, they may have to go through some hard things because of the choices they make. But you can trust me, because what I am preparing them for is a hope-filled future. There is great cause for optimism and for expectation when God is at work. And sometimes we just try too hard to do God's work. It's beyond our ability, but it's not beyond God's ability. And he is a God who can be trusted. Notice in our text when Jesus speaks about worry, he directs our attention to our Father who's in heaven. Therefore, take no thought, this is verse 31, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all those things do the Gentiles seek. These are things that the world says are the preeminent things. And then he says this, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So you don't need to worry. The world around you is chasing after all these temporal things, and it's easy to get caught up in the rat race, but don't do that. I've always reminded myself, why would I want to jump in with the rats and join their race, right? You know, why don't I stick with the plans, the pathway that God has before me? You have a Heavenly Father who cares for each of your children. And Mom, let me remind you, they're His children too. And He has the capacity to do way more than you can do. So don't lose sight of your limitations, but recognize that there's nothing too hard for Him. He has great plans for your children, however old they may be. There's still a future before them, and He has plans for them. He loves them more than you do. He is at work in their lives, even though you may not always be able to see it. He is the shepherd of the flock. So don't let worry overcome you. Don't let it draw your eyes away from the Lord Jesus onto the circumstances and the specifics. Trust your shepherd. Trust the shepherd of your soul. Do all you can to encourage your child to orient his heart towards the shepherd as well. You know, as I said earlier, it's true that God never promises a painful life to us or to our children. In fact, Scripture says, right, sometimes that he sends us out as sheep among wolves. But he also says he's the shepherd. The shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And he'll never leave us or forsake us. That when we go wayward, he'll come and find us. And we need to embrace that promise in this world of worry. We worry about the choices our kids are making or will make. We worry about their faith. We worry about whether or not we've done a good enough job to guide them, as if everything depended on us. But, Mom, if the Lord is their shepherd, isn't he able to lead them in the right paths? Now, he wants to use you to help to that end. I'm not minimizing that at all. But he's at work. And if they become lost, if they're struggling with waywardness, if they're hurting, isn't our good shepherd able to seek them and to find them and to pick them up and to bring them back? Here you are as a mother, you know, trying to point this little fellow in the right direction. But in time, the day is going to come when you have to let him venture out on his own. And isn't it wonderful to know that you can trust your Heavenly Father who's going to go with him every step of the way? Who's going to live within him if he knows Christ as Savior? Who's going to walk with him? Who's going to guide him? Who's going to foresee the perils that are there and give him the resources necessary to make wise choices? You know, your Heavenly Father never promises that the way will be easy. But he does promise that he'll be there. He'll be there with you. He'll be there with your son. He'll be there with your daughter. He'll be there with your grandchildren. Jesus confronts you with your inability. He challenges you about what you've got your heart set on. And he invites you to trust your Heavenly Father. And are you ready to do that today? I'm so grateful for moms who love God and who love their kids and who want God's best for them. And you know, here's a room full of moms just like that. But maybe you are struggling with some fear and insecurity, dealing with feelings of failure. Maybe the uncertainties of life, you know, just kind of has you a little bit upside down right now. This may seem unduly simplistic, but here's the prescription Jesus wants you to consider. Recognize the limits of your human ability. Don't think you can control what you can't control. Keep your focus on Jesus and trust in the shepherd of your soul. And as you do that, you'll be able to, in increasing measure, let go of worry. Just as we close, young people, let me talk specifically to you for just a minute. You know, if your mom loves the Lord and wants to see God work in your life, you are amazingly blessed. And young person, let me just encourage you, listen to your mom. You know, obey your mom. Love your mom. Honor your mom. Exodus in the Ten Commandments says, honor thy father and thy mother. You know, God has said of the key principles of how we live and work in this world, a very, very important one is that we honor your father and your mother. It doesn't matter how old you get or how old your mom is, that command still holds. You know, if you're a teenage young man, your mom is still worthy of your honor in every sense of the word. Now, the commandment to honor your mom holds even if you're the king. Now, you may remember King Solomon. His mother was Bathsheba. Solomon was born under some ugly circumstances. That's another story for another day. But in 1 Kings 2:19, it tells us of a day when Bathsheba came to speak to her son Solomon. And it says, and the king rose up to meet her, and he bowed himself unto her. And he sat down at his throne and caused a seat to be set for his mother. And she sat on his right hand, and they had their conversation. But you know, think about that. He rose for her. He bowed for her. He called for a throne to be put beside his so that they could sit together. He listened to her. He talked with her. She was his mother. Even kings need their moms. Young men, how much more? I don't think any of you are kings, at least not that I'm aware of. How much more do you need your And this is one of my burdens, especially for young men, is, you know, do you rise for your mom? Do you bow to her, so to speak? Do you open the car door for her? Do you let her go first? Do you offer to carry some of her burdens? You know, those are ways that we honor moms who are pouring their hearts and lives into their children. Earlier we read a few verses from the end of Proverbs 31. Then, you know, my kids sang about those verses. Proverbs 31:28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Moms, you are a blessing. You're a blessing to your husband. You're a blessing to your children. To your grandchildren, if you have them. You're a blessing to our church. And we want to bless and encourage you today. If you're feeling the weight of motherhood, that's okay. If you're feeling overwhelmed by worry, will you look to Jesus right now and ask him to help you let it go? Keep your eyes on him and remember that he's a shepherd who can be trusted. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for these dear moms who are here. Thankful for the investment that they make every day in the lives of their children, even if those children no longer live at home with them. And I pray, Father, that you would encourage moms today, and I pray especially for those who may be struggling with the weight of worry. Pray that you would help them to let that worry go and entrust their children to their loving Heavenly Father, to the shepherd of their soul, who has nothing but great plans for them. Bless in these moments of invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask our music.